Welcome to Pemba On Demand. I'm Norm Chapin, your host. I am very excited to welcome you to our podcast. Pemba On Demand is produced for physicians interested in professional development. We will be discussing a wide range of topics on the podcast. I will be interviewing physician leaders from the U.S. and from other countries who have graduated from the Physician Executive MBA program at the University of Tennessee. These physicians will be sharing stories of professional and personal growth, overcoming challenges in their organizations, and discussing key leadership skills they have learned from the MBA program and ongoing professional development. Welcome to another episode of Pemba On Demand. In this episode, Accelerate Your Dream, Insights from Entrepreneurial Programs, I have four guests on the podcast. We will be discussing entrepreneurship and providing you with some great information for how you can turn your innovative ideas into a business model. We have leaders from two programs in Knoxville, the Anderson Center for Entrepreneurship and Techstars of the Future, as well as two entrepreneurs with healthcare innovations that they are attempting to create a business model for. You'll get to hear how they approached it and how these approaches and their relationship with Techstars and the Anderson Center could benefit you. So today I'm happy to welcome four guests to the show who are going to talk with us about entrepreneurship. We have Brianna Hale, who is the Executive Director for the Anderson Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation. Welcome, Brianna. We have Brandon Bruce, who's the Managing Director of Techstars Industries of the Future in Knoxville and a serial entrepreneur himself. We are also joined by Lewis Hibbs, who is the co-founder of NKA Bio, which is a company that he's founded to improve critical care medicine. He'll be sharing a little bit about that with us. And finally, we have Leah Winters, who is an entrepreneur in residence at the Anderson Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation, and also is an entrepreneur in her own right. So I'm happy to welcome all of you to the show.
Thanks for having us.
So let's start out a little bit. Brianna, you and I were introduced through some mutual acquaintances at the University of Tennessee, and I'd like to start with you and maybe have you give us a little bit of background on the Anderson Center and how you became involved with the Anderson Center.
Certainly. So I became the executive director back in November of last year. So I'm still relatively new to the university as well as to the center, but we have a really important job here at the university to serve all students, faculty, staff, and alumni who have aspirations of starting or running or growing a business. So we have programming, we have networking and mentorship opportunities, and funding opportunities as well to help these emerging companies get off the ground. And we are industry agnostic, so we are housed within the School of Business, but we serve all entrepreneurs across all disciplines and all areas of study here at the university. So we have a big job to do and we are in growth mode. And a lot of what I'm really focusing on now is a lot of the outreach into the broader entrepreneurial community and ecosystem and trying to create as many bridges and connect as many dots as possible so that we could position our students, our researchers, our alumni for success, even beyond graduation.
So how long has the Anderson Center been in existence?
It's been around since, I think, 2010. So we're still kind of new, but we've also gotten our bearings. We have been doing a lot of programs for quite some time. So we have a lot of our competitions that are already quite successful and have built a very excited, enthusiastic brand around them. Leah can talk to some of the ones that she's participated in with us, but we also are constantly changing things. So we're constantly taking stock of what our students need, what our alumni need, what our researchers are doing, and where there's opportunities and where there's gaps to be doing more and to creating a bigger value.
So do I have to be a student at the University of Tennessee or not in order to work with the Anderson Center?
You just have to be UT affiliated. So any alumni, student, faculty, staff, anyone with an affiliation with the university can benefit from our services and our resources.
Great. All right. Thank you. And Leah, you and I've had a chance to talk a little bit prior to this in preparation, as I have with each of you. And I know that you started out as an undergraduate student at the University of Tennessee and with some interest in entrepreneur. I wonder if you could share a little bit about your story with us.
Yes, absolutely. So first off, thank you so much for having me here and giving me the opportunity to share a little bit about my story and preach the amazing things that the Anderson Center has to offer. So my background is in biomedical engineering. I actually did my undergrad away from the University of Tennessee. I'm from Pittsburgh. So I did my undergrad degree in biomedical engineering from the University of Pittsburgh, but decided I wanted to go straight through to grad school, where I went to the University of Tennessee to pursue a dual MBA and a Master's of Science in biomedical engineering. So that was my first experience with UT. And when I started grad school, I became involved with the Anderson Center pretty quickly. I thought a great way to combine business and engineering, like I said, I wanted to do was through entrepreneurship. And so started pitching the idea that started out as my senior design bioengineering project from undergrad in some of the Anderson Center's competitions, and continued to experience success, and decided when I graduated to officially start a business full time. So I became the co-founder and CEO of Winter Innovations, where an orthopedic medical device startup developing simple tools for overlooked areas in surgery. And we're doing that by launching our first product called EasyWhip, which is a stitching needle that helps outcomes for ligament and tendon surgery. And so it's been 5 years. I graduated 5 years ago now, and we've had a lot of success, have a whole portfolio of patents around the world, products FDA cleared and being used in surgeries. And so that's kind of the professional side of things. But on the Anderson Center side, I actually now give back as an entrepreneur in residence. I am kind of, if you will, a student entrepreneur coach, where I help do one-on-one sessions with entrepreneurs who are at the earliest stages of starting their ventures, everything from entity formation to learning how to pitch and raise funding, form their initial teams. And I also do guest speaking events to classes.
Great. Well, it sounds like it's been a great transition from you. And I'm sorry that I forgot that you did your undergrad at the University of Pittsburgh. You did tell me that, so I apologize.
No worries.
Trying to keep all that information straight, I guess, but it's kind of fascinating that, and I remember when we were talking about your story, that you came to get the graduate degree, you continued on that entrepreneurship journey, and now you're staying as an entrepreneur in residence. Has that impacted your business itself? Has it slowed it down? Has it accelerated it? What's the impact of you working with the Anderson Center?
I would say accelerated it in ways. I mean, this is my passion project. I love giving back to student entrepreneurs, but I every day learn so much from them as well. New ways to approach some of the problems. And obviously I've learned through my 5 years now being a full-time entrepreneur, some things that I can teach to them, but also learning about what some of the cutting edge ideas are that these young student entrepreneurs are coming out with, I think just has helped me and also helped me find creative ways to solve problems that I'm having with my business in current time. So
thank you. So Brandon, I want to talk with you a little bit. I know that you're the managing director for TechStars, and from you and I haven't really had much of a chance to talk. So I thought maybe it would be great to have you explain a little bit about what TechStars is and how it impacts the entrepreneurial community or entrepreneurs that are trying to innovate, start up new businesses.
Yeah, I mean, the most important point to make on this podcast is TechStars allowed me to work with Lewis. And founders like Lewis, right? So high level, TechStars is the world's largest pre-seed investor. So they've invested in more founders, more early stage startups than any other entity in the world, over 4,000 of them. So lots of small bets and lots of early stage companies. And then importantly, they run accelerators around the world and try to help those companies grow and grow faster, right? So in the pitch to the founders, they'll typically say, hey, for in the course of 13 weeks, hopefully we can get you a year or more further down the road than you would have been without the connections that you make, the introductions, the programming that you get through TechStars. So this year, TechStars Industries of the Future, it's a partnership program that's run for 3 years here in Knoxville. University of Tennessee, Oak Ridge National Laboratory, Tennessee Valley Authority are the three partners that made possible the program. And so each year we've had 10 companies come to Knoxville and build here for 3 months. So this year, Lewis and 9 other founders were here building, and we just had our demo day actually a week and a half ago. So it was a great event. It was a great way to sort of the pinnacle of the program was a chance for Lewis and NK Bio and all the other founders to basically say, hey, I came into the program. This is where I was. This is what I've been doing for the whole time of the program. And this is where I am now. And then it's a launch point for them to hit their next milestones. So for many, it's raising additional seed capital, hiring folks to join their team, possibly finding additional co-founders if they're trying to fill gaps in their team, securing intellectual property, right? Whatever the, we have some companies that were in revenue already and some companies that have much more R&D to do to get to that point or to get to an acquisition or a partnership that will be the needle mover for them. So yeah, super fun program. We had hundreds of mentors come and work with us through the course of the program. Brianna was there, was a frequent flyer in the office. And we also went over to University of Tennessee several times, including for a mixer at the Anderson Center, where we got to collide with a lot of students, which was great. I'll add briefly, one of the unique things about our Techstars program here is that we had interns. And so there's not that many Techstars programs actually around the world that have interns, but because of our partnership with University of Tennessee, we had 10 interns that joined us for 3 months of the program. As Leah was alluding to, students are wonderful. I mean, these are students that were already taking like max loads and running clubs and organizations like the entrepreneurship program, an organization at University of Tennessee. And they came and spent a lot of time, not with one startup, but with 10. So they were sort of willing to jump straight into the chaos of building early stage companies. And they knocked out financial models and built websites and did market research and all the blocking and tackling that it takes in an all hands on deck effort, like building a startup. So that was a super cool part of the program that we got to work really closely with Anderson Center and other partners throughout the university to pull that off.
So how long has Techstars been in Knoxville?
So this was the year 3 of the program. So we're here in 2022 was the first year, and then 2023, and then this year, 2024, was the third year of the program. So in total, we've had 30 founding teams come to Knoxville to be part of the Industries of the Future Accelerator.
Okay. And is there anything, from what I understand, this is kind of a collaboration between the University of Tennessee, Techstars, the TVA, I think, Tennessee Valley
Authority. University of Tennessee, TVA, and Oak Ridge. National Laboratory are the three local partners that made it possible. So they partnered with Techstars to then run the accelerator.
And has that led Techstars to look for particular types of founders or types of businesses to maximize the opportunity to work with University of Tennessee, the TVA, and Oak Ridge?
Yeah, 100%. So different accelerators cater to different types of startups. So some have an industry focus. For example, Space, which is partnered with JPL in Los Angeles. Others are geographically based. So it might be Techstars in a certain region, and they're trying to attract founders principally from that area or the surrounding areas. For us, we were trying to attract the founders that many people would refer to as deep tech or hard tech, folks that could really take advantage of the high-end research and scientific inquiry that we have, the lab, the university, and TVA. For us, we had a really diverse cohort for 10 startups. So if you looked at us in terms of industry clusters, we had several that are pushing the envelope in terms of biotech, like Lewis and NK Bio. We have a couple of companies that are focused on energy, so really close alignment with TVA and Oak Ridge and the university, of course, on that front. And we had several in devices and artificial intelligence, and then a few using advanced materials. So we could have chosen any one of those and tried to have just a singular industry cluster, but because we've had companies that have had success from this region and all of those, we felt like those founders could take a lot of value out of the program. And also the partners would be able to really engage with all those founders. And that's my cat saying hello. My cat knows when a video starts that it's a great time to jump on the desk because where am I going to go?
It's important to have that kind of support from our pets. You know, I managed to shut my door before mine came in, so I'm good here. Great. Well, thank you for that information. Now, finally, Lewis, I'd like to talk with you a little bit. I know that you're, as Brandon mentioned, you're one of the founders that are currently working with TechStars, but tell us a little bit about NKA Bio.
Yeah, sure. So NKA Bio is a biotech startup that's working to make new medicines for critically ill patients that press pause on death. So our main focus right now is on trauma resuscitation. So patients who are severely injured by things like car crashes and gunshots and who desperately need a better chance at survival and also positive outcomes after their surgery. So we're working on a new drug that EMS will be able to carry with them into the field so that when someone's injured, they can quickly inject our drug, press pause on death, and buy more time to get you from where you were injured to a hospital and through that life-saving surgery.
And how did you first get involved in that particular innovation? What led to your interest in this particular product?
Yeah, so, you know, overall, like, trauma is the number one cause of death for people ages 1 to 44. So this is something that has impacted people around me, my friends. And so it's a very important thing to solve. But to add on top of that, my grandfather, he was the first director of emergency medicine at Johns Hopkins. And he spent his career both as a surgeon treating trauma patients, but also as a researcher trying to find better solutions to keep them alive. And he, at the end of his career, he made a discovery behind our mechanism and didn't really know how to kind of move it forward into a business. And so I founded the company with Susan Ganhibbs, who's my mom. And the two of us are really working to take his research and turn that into a commercial product that can help patients.
Great. And how long have you been working on the product before you got involved with TechStars?
Yeah, so we spent about the past 4 years building out an antibody engineering platform and pulling together a little bit of pre-seed capital just to keep things rolling. And then when we found out about TechStars and started talking with Brandon about the opportunity, we really felt like this was a great opportunity to accelerate our company forward and start moving us to the next stages of preclinical development.
Now, when is your involvement with TechStars officially over? Now, I know that the relationships never go away. I understand that, you know, these are sort of foundational relationships that you're forming, but when does the official period of time that you're part of the accelerator end?
Yeah, so it officially wrapped up on June 6th. We had demo day down in Knoxville, presenting to a room full of investors and community leaders and other people from around the Knoxville area. But, you know, as they always say, it's TechStars for life. So they really have a community and people in place to support us as we continue on. So the formal accelerator is wrapped up, but there's obviously a lot more to do to build NKA Bio. And we appreciate all that TechStars is going to do to help us and has done so far.
So Brianna, I thank you very much, Lewis. And Brianna, I want to kind of go back to you about the Anderson Center. Was the Anderson Center as part of the University of Tennessee, was it integral in the engagement with TechStars and bringing them to Knoxville, or was it more fortuitous that that relationship between the University of Tennessee and TechStars developed and now it gives you the opportunity to partner with an accelerator that you hadn't anticipated?
So Anderson Center was not part of the initial conversations. And I came on board after TechStars already had a couple of years here in Knoxville. But what we were able to do is kind of strengthen the connection a little bit more and create more opportunities and more bridges to engage with TechStars, create a student experience and opportunity to integrate a little bit more with TechStars. So Brandon mentioned we had a mixer. We have a program called Meet the Founders, where we bring local founders to campus and allow students to meet with them and talk with them and build their networks that way and maybe get a little bit of a kind of a firsthand account of what it's really like to start a business and to go through that process. So we had, I think, 9 of the 10 TechStars teams here in our accelerator space for a Meet the Founders event and a networking mixer. And that was really great. We also were able to create internship opportunities, as Brandon mentioned. So we posted the position and got engineering students and business students involved in the internship program that Brandon was really gracious to create and get off the ground. And I'm so glad that that worked out, because I think that being able to touch base with 10 startups and serve in a supportive role and have that experience and that exposure, not just to the founders, but to the work it takes to start a business from the ground up, is unmatched. Nowhere else can you get that experience that is going to look incredible on their resumes. So we were able to help work with them to connect them in that way. And it's just been a wonderful opportunity to have them in our backyard and to be able to meet with them and connect with them and help bring in additional introductions and additional connections that maybe they might not have connected with that we can now add to their Rolodex. So the Anderson Center were not part of the initial draw to bring them here, but we are very grateful that they came. And we think that it was a very successful operation. And I think it benefited both sides for sure.
So Brandon, I know that you've had a lot of history as an entrepreneur, and I know that your appointment as a managing director was, I believe, when they were first starting up in Knoxville. Is that correct?
So I was involved in the process of kind of planning for and doing what was called the ecosystem report that preceded Techstars. And then a different managing director ran the program for the first 2 years. Mm. And then when she relocated back to Chicago, then there was an opportunity for me to come in and run it for this third year.
Okay. So talk to me a little bit about your entrepreneurial endeavors and what really attracted you or gave you the passion for entrepreneurship.
It's because I like hanging out with Leah and Lewis and Brianna because it's fun, and with you. That's the number one reason why. And so my journey really got interesting when my best friend from college and I started a company called Cirrus Insight. And Ryan is based in Irvine, California. I'm based here in Knoxville. We just started the company together. So I end up building the sales, marketing, operations team here in Knoxville. We have about 45 people. Ryan built the development product team in Irvine and have about 30 folks there. But we started it just the two of us, a couple good friends hacking at it. And so it was an integration between Gmail and Salesforce, which is a big customer relationship management platform used by a lot of enterprises and small businesses. So, mm-hmm. it was great timing. It was 2011 when we launched. More and more companies were moving to the cloud. So this was at the time where if you moved to the cloud, you were moving to Gmail because Microsoft 365 didn't exist yet. So that sort of centers us in terms of the timing of the whole thing. But we had a great experience, learned a ton. That was my favorite part of the process. Working with a great friend, being able to build a team and sort of surround ourselves with people that we really like to work with, and also figuring stuff out as we went. So no 2 days were ever the same. And that was something about having other jobs that I always felt like was missing. I'd do it for 2 weeks and be like, well, it's pretty dialed in. What else is there to do? And they're like, yeah, we want you to keep doing that. And I would get stir crazy. So it was nice starting a new company where every day was different. Like, I'm going to work on just sales today. Or we got to go back and work on the product some more. Or we got to do some support and some combination of all of those. So that we ran for 7 years through 2018, exited in early 2019. And then since then, been involved in a lot of different projects, which has been a lot of fun. I've got a small software startup now called Uncat, which works in the accounting and bookkeeping space. And then did a license not too long ago from Oak Ridge National Laboratory for some cybersecurity software. So we're going to work on taking that to market, hopefully later this year. And then we launched a venture capital fund in Knoxville earlier this year called Market Square Ventures. So a couple fun projects this year in addition to running Techstars.
I've been paying a lot of attention to cybersecurity lately because of the hack on Ascension and Change Healthcare, which really impacted our billing. That's got to be a market that's going to explode exponentially with, from what I'm reading and understanding about the predictions for the future, that it's just going to be a constant state of a challenge for us. I'm always amazed at how many hits our firewall takes every day in the healthcare system that I currently work in. And it's just a matter of time before somebody gets through. So that's probably not a bad idea to invest in right now.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it is constant. And, Knoxville has a really strong industry cluster around that. Oak Ridge mm-hmm. National Lab is one of the strongest areas for cybersecurity. A lot of top companies are located here. There's a big roll-up of cybersecurity companies based in Knoxville. So we're strong here. University of Tennessee has a cybersecurity program now that started several years ago. So we've got a lot of great talent coming out of the university that does it. So yeah, so hopefully Knoxville is part of the solution to the challenges that you're describing, which I agree with you are not going to stop anytime soon.
Right. Well, this has been great background from all of you, and I appreciate you taking the time to share. One of the reasons that I was excited about bringing you on the show is that Our audience is specifically physicians who are in the process of or who have already obtained their MBA. And there were several members of my class when I went to Pemba back in 2008 who were very entrepreneurial, who came to get their MBA for that reason. And it seems like a lot of the physician entrepreneurs that I talk with really struggle. And Lewis, you mentioned your grandfather, who obviously had an idea that you now, two generations later, have turned into a product, and it may finally come to fruition that he must have hoped for when he was working on it. I think a lot of physicians find themselves in that boat where they have a great idea, they see a problem, and they know that they have a solution for it. How can the Anderson Center, TechStars, and I'd be interested, Leah, in your opinion, and Lewis as well, I'll just kind of throw this out there to everybody. If you were talking to a physician who had a great idea, what types of ways would you explain to them that the Anderson Center, the university, TechStars could help, and at what phase of the business should they be at before they reach out?
I'll just jump in and start. I think a lot of people, they have this idea in their head and they kind of just wait for the perfect moment to get started. And there really isn't a perfect moment. And if it just lives in your head, it's never going to go anywhere. So I would suggest start out by talking to people and getting feedback. One thing that's great about the audience of this show and a lot of practitioners that end up turning around and starting a business is that they quite often identify problems that actually exist. Sometimes entrepreneurs are trying to come up with a solution for a product that or a problem that doesn't exist. But physicians are constantly around things that need changing and need updating or things that could be better or improved upon. And so they're actually a really great audience to turn and convert into an entrepreneur because they see a problem, they know it's a problem, they know that there's a market for it, and they're equipped to solve the problem and create a solution for it. So I think their odds of success are much higher. It's just a matter of going out there and talking to people and trying to get support. Sometimes people are afraid to talk to people about their idea because they're afraid that it's going to get stolen. That very, very rarely happens. So I would encourage them, if there's an IP consideration, explore it. But otherwise, don't let that hold you back. Go ahead and go talk to people, get support for your idea, and start doing your research and putting pen to paper and then do the work. And of course, it's hard because a lot of people who are starting a business also have a full-time job. So it's hard to find the time, but you've just got to make it work. You've got to have your 9 to 5, but then have your 5 to 9 and find ways to just make it happen. So where the Anderson Center comes in, if this person is UT affiliated, has maybe graduated from the Pemba program, come talk to us. We will probably put you in touch with Leah. She's an expert at what she does and has a lot of great resources and connections too. But we also have other entrepreneurs and residents that have accounting backgrounds, that have legal backgrounds, that have other types of tech, hardware, software, physics backgrounds, and they can play a supportive role as well. Additionally, we have additional connections and resources that we can offer too. We're developing funds to help with prototyping and R&D. UT as a system has a ton of really great resources too, like UTRF. We have Spark. We have all kinds of great organizations that can help. And so the Anderson Center is kind of like the front door. Come to us, and then we will connect you and get you plugged into where you need to be.
Do you have any physicians right now that are working with the Anderson Center?
No, but we would love to.
How about on the TechStars cohort? And were there any physicians involved in any of the initial 3 years of the TechStars of the Future in Knoxville at all?
That's a great question. I don't believe so off the top from the first two cohorts. And in terms of involvement, obviously Lewis is working with a lot of physicians. Our other mm-hmm. companies that were involved in biotech or high-performance computing for drug discovery, et cetera, medical devices, we had all those represented in this third cohort. So all of them are working very closely. And one of the unlocks for them about being in Knoxville was University of Tennessee Medical Center. The researchers at UT working on biotech and the UT Health Science Center over in Memphis. And so those were key connections that they were able to tap into here in Knoxville. So while I don't think we had MDs represented as founders in the cohorts, certainly there were a lot of crosswalks to them.
This podcast is sponsored by the Physician Executive MBA program at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville's Haslam College of Business. In less than one calendar year, this program will equip you with valuable business acumen and leadership development not found in traditional medical school curriculum. Are you ready to join the longest-running physician-only MBA program in the country and a network of nearly 1,000 PEMBA graduates? Visit tiny.utk.edu/podcast for information about this exciting opportunity. And now we'll return to the episode. Yeah, I know somewhere there are going to be a lot of surgeons who are going to be crushed when Leah's product takes off. And I asked her about that when I first interviewed her. I said, what's the connection from a physician standpoint? Because you're creating something that's used in orthopedic surgery. That was a fascinating story in and of itself. But it is a little surprising to me, and it was a little surprising to me when we first talked, that this idea wasn't the idea of an orthopedic surgeon.
Yeah, I'd really say to kind of piggyback off of that and advice is mine came from a place of doing research and development and being in the lab, cadaver lab, doing biomechanics testing and questioning why is this done the way it is, and really thinking there could be a more efficient way of doing that. And I think that's the most important thing to recognize is when any physicians see a problem, I think that goes back to what Brianna was saying, is identifying the problem is the really important first step. And that's kind of thinking outside the box, getting away from necessarily the conventional ways of thinking of it. So I think that's how I came up with a pretty simple but innovative solution to stitching. And to kind of piggyback off of what Brianna said as well on initial steps and talking about your idea, I think one thing for physicians that can be a little bit daunting is just there are already so many demands on your time. And you think that the first thing that needs to be done is to go out and hire someone, and then that quickly like racks up the bill. But kind of to Brianna's point, again, you can come talk to some of the entrepreneurs and residents who can be an extension of your team for free. So we can share stories, advice. My recommendation would be to talk to as many entrepreneurs and residents, or whether they're with the Anderson Center or just like peers in the industry who have started a business. You can learn so much. And a lot of times you find that successful entrepreneurs want to share their stories of what to do, and sometimes even more so what not to do, to get you on the path to succeed. And then another thing is talking about your idea. And I think that's an amazing recommendation. I come from the world of physical products where patents are really important. And it can be daunting as well to say, okay, well, I have to get a patent, which racks up pretty quickly from the expense side of things. But my approach was always take it one step at a time. There are early stage things like a provisional patent application, which is not the full cost of necessarily going forward and patenting something, but it gives you some protection early on to start talking about and understanding if your product is something that can, or solution is something that could be moved forward with. And then when you are ready for funding, one resource that Brianna mentioned that the Anderson Center provides is pitch competitions. So these are open to any UT affiliated students. There are some that are also open to the community as well. But there are three pitch competitions, one that starts out as an elevator pitch, which is a 90-second competition where you just have to go up and talk about your idea. There's are also two venture challenges where you present to a panel of esteemed judges and entrepreneurs and can win anywhere ranging from $1,500 for the elevator pitch competition up to, I think the total prize pool is about $25,000 that's given away each year. So Brianna, I'm sure you can add to that, but that was really helpful for me at the earliest stages. This is non-dilutive, which means free funding to put towards some of those expensive things at the beginning, like patents, and just taking it in those steps, I think makes it a little bit easier to really start going on founding your business.
I want to make another plug too for the for just UT resources in general. We have a law clinic that's incredible, and it's a great free resource, pro bono resource for people who need a little bit of support in terms of looking over any kind of patent application or IP work, entity formation, any kind of legal questions, hiring, employment law, that kind of stuff. So the law clinic on campus is really great as well.
Great. You're obviously working with a lot of physicians as you roll your project out. Have you heard this phrase like this. Boy, I had that idea a few years ago, but I just never went anywhere with it. And what response have you had to those, if you've had that kind of a conversation?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a pretty common thread when you speak to physicians, maybe not necessarily about our idea, but just ideas in general. Like, yeah, you are just exposed to so many problems in the care setting. But, you know, I think the most important thing from my perspective is just figuring out how to take action. And honestly, I think Brianna, Leah, and Brandon just gave kind of a masterclass in some of the ways you can start doing that. You know, from our perspective and like what we did, when I came into it, you just look at the costs ahead of you, how expensive it is to develop that drug, all the resources that you need to bring together to make that happen. That's incredibly daunting. Like, there's no way to just attack that head on. But the first experiment we ever did, it didn't cost us a dollar. We just negotiated a clever contract with another scientist. They went and tried it and it failed, which was awesome because we got our first bit of data back without paying a single penny for it, right? And so I just really can't emphasize enough, like, find some way to take a little bit of action to start moving that idea forward. Because as you start doing that, the resources will start falling in together behind it. Next thing you know, we're talking to another scientist. They had some more experience with some of it, and they were able to successfully get that next experiment done. And that just cost us a little bit of money to move that next step forward. So it's really just about finding those little iterative steps to start moving things. And I think a lot of success can come from that.
Great. Thank you very much for that. So I'd like to maybe just kind of, again, open this up as a roundtable type of idea. There have been a lot of great ideas thrown out here. And I'm hoping that maybe we can include a lot of those resources for our listeners in the show notes at the end of this so that they have some sense, along with your contact information if they have specific questions, to reach out to you. But as we wrap up here, are there any final thoughts that we haven't talked about, I haven't asked you about, that you think would be important for physicians specifically to kind of understand that we haven't had a chance to touch on?
Let me just add a couple quick things. My observation has been that physicians are key for any entrepreneurial ecosystem to thrive. So if you go back and read about like the history of a company that ostensibly has nothing to do with healthcare at all, unless you want to get going in the morning, Starbucks, funded by doctors in Seattle. That's who Howard Schultz went to, right, to get the company going. So oftentimes physicians are early stage angel investors or participants in funds. You see that across the country, around the world. We already talked earlier about they're in a unique position with patients and inside typically a hospital environment or a private practice environment where they can see problems and come up with novel solutions. And I've seen this before. My father-in-law is a physician. He's very tech forward and he's come up with some really amazing ways to treat patients that have advanced the field forward, which has been really, really gratifying, right, for him, but especially for the patients that have benefited from that work. And I think also for companies that are trying to get in to healthcare to make a difference in the medical field, physicians can play that vital role of raising their hand and saying, I want this. I want to try this, right? And Lee is an expert in that. But it's a key, if you're hearing it from the inside, where a physician's saying, this is the future, or I want to try this because we want to keep getting better. Any large institution, any large bureaucracy has a lot of inertia, but physicians are in a unique position because of their expertise and because of their touching the patient one-on-one to be able to say to an administrator, I would like to advance this. Let's come up with a way to test this in a clinical setting, or let's push this through legal instead of letting it take as long as it possibly could. So those are a quick, you know, for the audience, right, that you're broadcasting to, I think maybe three or four quick things that I've seen here in Knoxville and in other communities where physicians are really at the center of new startups starting, getting to market, growing, and having really successful outcomes.
Add to that too. So another objection that I hear a lot of times when people say, yeah, I want to be an entrepreneur, but the reason, one of the buts is that I don't have an idea, right? So I would encourage listeners who are curious about entrepreneurship or want to explore starting something or launching something that could change lives, that could change the world. One resource is UTRF has a collection of intellectual property that's been developed by researchers here at the university that is essentially sitting on the shelf and waiting for the right person to take that and commercialize it. So if there's a listener who wants to peruse the intellectual property that's available, for licensing, come up with a business idea around some of the technology that's already been developed and either take it one step further or work on figuring out how you can license that and commercialize it and bring it to market. Additionally, if you do have an idea, but you're just daunted by the amount of time and all the work that it's going to be, I would suggest bringing your idea to maybe a senior design class or to a class where maybe you have students that need a little bit of real world experience. There's a lot of courses on campus that are constantly looking for ways to connect with people in industry and have real world projects that they can work on. So senior design is a great one from a technical perspective. We also have a great master's in marketing program that are always looking for ways to refine their skills and make those industry connections. So connect with the university in that way. Lastly, we have interns. There's people who are looking to go work for startups. So if you have a specific area where you could use a little bit of extra support, come to us and let us find some people to plug into your startup and give you that extra support to move it forward, move it along. Our students are incredibly talented. They're incredibly driven. They're smart. They're creative. And they're fun. So having them join the team is a great opportunity to get a little bit of extra work, but also maybe find your next employee or your first employee that you might end up hiring after graduation.
Great. Thank you. Any other thoughts any of you have?
I'll chime in and say, as someone not from the South who came to the South for what I thought was just graduate school, and I could not spell the word entrepreneurship, did not know what that was, I will say Tennessee and the South in general is just an amazing place to start and grow your business. As soon as I got here, really realized that the volunteer spirit reigns true. So many people went out of their way just to mentor, encourage, help make sure we succeeded at those earliest, really critical stages of a business. And there are so many resources like TechStars, like the Anderson Center, like Launch Tennessee. So I encourage you, even if you're interested, to start networking within the space. And once you start looking, you realize how many resources are out there and available and can encourage you to get started with your idea or business.
Great.
Yeah. And I would just add as well that coming from kind of outside, our only affiliation with the University of Tennessee is through TechStars. And so we've been to countless hospitals and universities across the country, trying to work with physicians there, the different trauma centers there, all of that. And it's just been roadblock after roadblock where we weren't able to, you know, even have the conversations or figure out ways to advance the research. And in the 3 months of TechStars, we were able to get a ton of progress on that. We set up a ton of collaborations with researchers at the University of Tennessee. And I can't emphasize how easy it was, because the university is set up in a way where everyone is trying to support the entrepreneur and support research and support science. And it was just truly eye-opening to me how many things were possible at the University of Tennessee for us to be able to accomplish and support our business. So I would just really encourage anyone listening, I would guess you have an association with the University of Tennessee, even if you're not there right now, and just really try to find a way to leverage that association, because the people at the university are really here to help and have the resources to do so.
Great. Well, thank you all for your insights. This has been a great opportunity to chat with each of you. And I've enjoyed getting ready for this podcast. And I think you really brought some valuable information to the physicians who are going to be listening to this. So I can't express my appreciation and gratitude enough for you taking the time out of your busy day to join me today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. Appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Pemba On Demand. Our guests, Brianna, Brandon, Leah, and Lewis, all did an excellent job of covering various aspects of entrepreneurship. The benefits to physician entrepreneurs, especially those who are current Pemba students or Pemba alumni, of having access to the Anderson Center for Entrepreneurship and TechStars of the Future was pretty evident, in my opinion. I've included some key links in the show notes that Brianna, Brandon, Lewis, and Leah were kind enough to provide me for any of you who are interested in pursuing entrepreneurship. If you would like to contact any of our guests or just access some of the resources that they have recommended, please make use of those notes, those show notes. Pemba On Demand podcasts are released biweekly every other Thursday. Please join us in 2 weeks on August 8th. My guest on the show will be Dr. Benson Babu. The title of the show is Revolutionizing Healthcare, AI's role in modern medicine. Ben and I attended the class of 2008 at Pemba and have known each other for many years. And Ben is very engaged and very involved with technology and artificial intelligence. We know that artificial intelligence is having an impact in many healthcare arenas currently and will probably continue to impact healthcare going forward in the future. Ben and I will have the opportunity to discuss both the benefits and the risks of artificial intelligence. And please don't forget to subscribe to Pemba On Demand. Use your favorite podcast player to subscribe so that you avoid missing any of our future podcast shows. That wraps up our show for today. Thank you very much for joining and listening to the podcast. If you have any comments or questions regarding this episode, please feel free to add them in the comment section on our website, tiny.utk.edu/podcast. We love hearing from you and are happy to answer any questions you may have. I will add a link to the website below. Please also don't forget to subscribe to the podcast by clicking the subscribe button. Add Pemba On Demand to your podcast library today. I would also appreciate it if you could leave a review of the podcast on your podcast player. Share the podcast with your friends and colleagues also. Please take good care of yourselves, and as always, good luck with your future.